when I picked up the gospel, I was stopped by the very first words, Jesus rejoiced. Jesus rejoiced. Meaning, this is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to rejoice. It's not the only thing, of course. We started out Advent with a rather stern warning on Sunday, right? Jesus didn't say, rejoice, rejoice. He said, be vigilant, be ready, get prepared. You're going to pass through trials. Pray so that you'll be ready. So there wasn't a message about rejoicing. Yesterday, the second of the readings, was not a message about rejoicing, but more about faith. The faith of the centurion. The humility of the centurion. But today, third day of Advent, Jesus rejoiced. And we're reminded that, yes, rejoicing is part of this journey. It's a big part of it. Now, we know that the joy in Advent is joy in anticipation. The real joy is celebrated at Christmas time. But it's already present with us. In fact, it's always present with us because of who God is and because of how God works. We should never be far from rejoicing. Today's first reading gives us a prophecy about what will come, and it's good reason for rejoicing. The one who is to come, the Messiah, is going to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He's going to be wise and just and true, and he's going to delight in the fear of the Lord. There's a bit of a hint there of the rejoicing. It's going to be a combination of justice and mercy. And then he's going to establish a kingdom where there's remarkable harmony. This would cause joy for anybody who's troubled about the breakdown in our times, the war-torn era of the third millennium. It will not always be like that, according to this prophecy. The Israelis and the Palestinians will be able to sit down together. The Russians and the Ukrainians will be able to eat together. And any other warring factions, the administration, the president and the vice president will be able to get along. The Republicans and the Democrats will be able to share a common meal, the wolf and the lamb and the calf and the lion and the cow and the bear, the baby and the cobra. These parties that are just diametrically opposed to each other and can never get along, well, in the reign of the Messiah, not only will they get along, there'll be harmony, peace. There'll be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. The whole world will know the Lord. So there's an element of rejoicing in the idea that this era will come, that this harmony will be established, that God has this in mind. We're not going to be like this forever in this war-torn era of strife. Okay, so rejoicing. Now we know Christmas time, when we get there, is a time of joy. But it's not just joy in worldly things, joy in having good food and pretty decorations. Sometimes this time of year, people look back to the joy they experienced when they were children, and they have a kind of longing for that simpler time and simpler joys. And it's a nostalgia. Nostalgia is a funny movement of the heart. It's actually a kind of sadness. It's a longing for something that we don't have anymore. And it's an attempt to drag up joys from the past and put them in the present. It doesn't really work. It's nice to remember happy memories. That's not a bad thing. But to think that we can go back to that condition, well, that's not exactly healthy. So but a lot of people do this at Christmas time, and that's why a lot of people get depressed in December, because it's not like what they want it to be like. Life isn't like it was, and it's not like it we want it to be. So that's not what Jesus is talking about, or this gospel is not talking about rejoicing that we can have a happy family together at the Noche Buena. No. What is it? What is this about? Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He rejoiced in the profound unity of God. He rejoiced in the divine love, which is God. He rejoiced in the basis for everything that is, which is God. The love of God. And then he praises the Father. This is always a striking line. I give you praise, Father. He's so happy that he's praising the Father. I would love to have seen his face when he was praying this. And his body language. Was he looking up to heaven? Was he raising up his hands? Was he clapping? Was he jumping? What does it mean to rejoice? How does God rejoice? And how does God rejoice in a human way? Because Jesus is God and man. Anyway, he gives praise to the Father. I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. I rejoice that you did it like this, that you're hiding things from some people and revealing them to others. Well, God, in our experience, hides things and reveals them. But in himself, he actually wants to reveal all the time. He's not really a hider. It's that the timing isn't good for us, or our disposition isn't correct, or we don't have the capacity to see. And so a lot is hidden, even from the saints. A lot is hidden. But God, he's a hidden God, but he wants to be known. He wants us to know him as we are known by him. He wants a communion that is based on knowledge, on what is revealed. And that's part of the joy, that the things are revealed. Now, it says, they're not revealed to the wise and the learned, but they are revealed to the childlike. Which is, again, a kind of Advent Christmas theme, children. What does it mean to be childlike? Well, we know children, little children, there's something very simple about them, and when they're happy, they're happy. And it doesn't take very much to bring a smile to a child's face. When a child receives a little toy, or a little, I don't know what, something delicious, they're happy. They're not thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, or what happens when the toy breaks, or when someone takes it away. Their minds are not preoccupied with bad things to come. They're just happy in the moment, kind of a present before the presence attitude. Now, they can do that because they don't have very much to think about, and they haven't experienced very much. So yes, that kind of childlikeness is not possible for people who are over 4 years old. Once we have other things in our mind, and we're supposed to carry a lot more. It's part of our responsibility. But we learn from a child that kind of allowing things to be as they are, not controlling, not demanding, not living in expectation, not living in disappointment. Just this is the way it is. Thanks be to God. And this is how Jesus is. He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit because this is the way it is. This is the way God is, and it's good. Is Jesus aware that he's going to suffer and die? Yes, he's aware of it, but he's not being preoccupied by it in this moment, because that's all part of the way it is. Thanks be to God. I give you praise, Father. So it's childlike, but it's not with the absolute simplicity that we see in a two-year-old. They're not thinking about very much. No, it's childlike, but with the with the awareness that God reveals that it's a big picture, and as much as we find out good and what seems good and bad, God is good. I give you praise. Now, this business about hiding things from the wise and the learned, this is a good Advent instruction for us, because we might think that the message of Advent, as it started out, be vigilant, wake up, get your act together, pray, that was all part of the message of Sunday. We might think that, oh, now it's all on us. Now we have to be better. We have to make ourselves better, and we better get a good technique, and we better have a good policy and a better method for approaching our spiritual life and dealing with our affairs. And we can mistakenly put all the focus on ourselves and how we're going to make Advent work. And that's what the wise and the learned do. They put themselves in the center of the picture and think that their gifts and their understanding and their experience is what's going to make things work. This is typical of the world. This is, in fact, this is the way the world works. Look at the politicians. This is how we have to do it now. This is how we're going to make things better. Look at the economists. This is how the market works. This is how we're going to project ourselves. Look at the military. This is how we're going to make our victory. We're going to establish ourselves as a dominant force on the battlefield. It's not the way the spiritual life works. I mean, elements of all those things are present. Yes, we have to be wise. Yes, we have to plan. Yes, we have to identify the circumstances, the signs of the times. Yes, we are in a battle and we have to recognize how to fight. That's all true. But we're not the key to the victory. The learned and the clever end up shutting down the most important part, which is God. That's why things are hidden from them. Because they're not looking to God. Now, God would very happily reveal himself to the learned and the clever if they would just open themselves to the bigger reality. Something like the centurion we saw yesterday. The centurion was no child. I mean, he was a highly trained, educated, powerful man. But he wasn't wise and learned in this sense. He didn't narrow down his perspective to what he and the Roman army could accomplish. He said, no, here's someone who has authority, meaning speaking of Jesus. Here's someone who has authority. When all he has to do is give the word. See how childlike he was. This man, Jesus, is someone who can cure with a word. And I'm going to ask this man to cure my servant. Very childlike. Okay, so this is an Advent instruction for us. We don't know how the cow and the bear and the young calf and the lion and the cobra and the baby, we don't know how they're going to get along. And we can't figure that out. We have to keep trying and praying, striving. We can't even figure out how to get along with our own relatives. with our own members of our own community, there's always going to be some unresolved tensions that we have to accept. But it doesn't make us depressed or nostalgic, or it doesn't stop us, because our hope is in the Lord. If we're childlike, we trust in the Lord. Let's pause for a moment and reflect on today's saint, Saint Francis Xavier. Now, he was a very clever man. He was a university student, very good student, good mind. But when he encountered the Lord, he channeled all those gifts to following the Lord and making him known. He's one of the very first Jesuits, right? He's a companion of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, founder of the Jesuits. And the Jesuits, or St. Ignatius, sent him off to the Far East. Okay, you've got all this energy, you've got all this zeal, you have all this divine wisdom. Go out into the ends of the earth. And he did it. He went off and just went into remote places and unknown places and just proclaimed the gospel to anybody he could find, especially the poor. A very remarkable figure. And a very childlike figure. Because if he thought he could convert India, he would be an idiot. You can't convert India. You can't convert India. But God can do it. You see, the wise and the learned say, well, here's the obstacles, here's the problems, here's the challenge. It's way beyond you, Francis Xavier. It's way beyond you. Don't even bother. That's the wise and the learned. Or at least get, 500 missionaries to go with you. But the childlike say, well, God wants me to go, I'll go. It's very simple. This is the thing to do right now. I'm going to do this right now. No matter how many other things I have to do tomorrow or whatever else might happen, this is what God wants me to do right now. I'm going to do it. Very childlike. And that's Francis Xavier. Very, very effective method of evangelization. So that's Advent for us. To rejoice in the way things are, because in God. Rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Not to rejoice that sin is reigning in the world, but to rejoice that God is more powerful than sin. And we know he's going to bring about a restoration. To rejoice that he's allowed us to be part of it. Right now, in this present moment, and this little thing I'm supposed to do. Okay, I give you praise, Father. To rejoice with zeal. To give ourselves with the spirit of Francis Xavier, which is a childlike and joyful zeal for the kingdom of God.